all of you on the banks of the holy river Ganga in the Himalayan mountains in the great Dham of Sri Rishikesh. Thank you. Thank you for Moniji, Swami Chidananda Saraswatiji and Bhagavati Devi Sadhvi for organizing this beautiful festival. Every moment of life is so precious that with our human intelligence, it is not possible to calculate. There's a beautiful verse which teaches us that all the wealth in creation does not have the value of a single moment. Because in that moment, we can attain or we can come closer to that eternal liberated state of true happiness. If you lose money, you can get it back. But if you lose a moment, you could never get that moment back. Time is like Mother Ganga. It keeps flowing. Materially or physically, it is flowing toward the ocean of death. But spiritually, it is flowing toward the Karuna Sindhu, the ocean of Krishna's love, the ocean of happiness, an ocean that has no bottom and no shores. It is unlimited. And it is our choice which current we want to flow in. But time is the type of river that even with our most advanced technologies, we cannot build any type of dam to obstruct her progress. So every moment is precious. Since the beginning of time, great personalities, sages, yogis, rishis, swamis, have come together to discuss the highest truths of life on the banks of holy rivers, especially rivers like the Godavari, the Yamuna, the Ganga. Mother Ganga is a Shakti, the feminine divine nature of the One Supreme Truth. Sri Radha, Sri Sita, this is, there is one God, there is one feminine counterpart to that one God that has many names and appears in different ways at different times. Radha, Govinda, Sitaram, Lakshmi, Narayan. And Ganga is an expansion of that Shakti, that supreme compassionate loving potency of the Lord. She flows eternally in the spiritual world, beyond birth, beyond death, the land where everything is Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of spiritual joy. And the various Vedic Puranas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, describes the glories of Mother Ganga in thousands of verses. Out of her infinite mercy for the people within our universe and each universe, she enters into it. Aham bija pradapita. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, I am the original father and mother of all living beings. That motherly aspect descends as Ganga Mai, Mother Ganga. And for a long, long time, she was flowing through the higher planets, Brahmaloka, Tapoloka, Janaloka, Maharloka, Swargaloka, but not beyond. And it was a great king named Bhagirath who wanted to liberate his forefathers. For generations and generations, people were trying to do this. So he performed about 60 years of tapasya at Gangotri. That rock where he did it is still there. Until the object of all of his prayers, all of his meditations, all of his chanting of God's names, all of his austerities of fasting and sitting in the cold Himalayas without clothes, it was fulfilled. Mother Ganga herself appeared as the most beautiful, beautiful goddess. And he begged for her to descend to this earth planet. And it's a long story. But out of his compassion, she came to this earth and flows from Gangotri Gomukh to the Ganga Sagara in Bengal. Actually, I just came from Bengal this morning. We have a body, but ultimately we are not the body. We are in the body. We are the eternal soul. Najayate mriyate vakadachit. The nature of the Atma, the living force within all of us, is we have no birth. We never grow old. We never get diseased. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. And we never die. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. The eternal soul, the true self, is a part of the supreme soul, the Paramatma. And divine love for the Paramatma is our nature. It's our ultimate potential. Within this world, the essential need and want of every heart is to love and be loved. The origin of that tendency is in the eternal Atma, the soul's experiencing God or Krishna's infinite love, and in reciprocating by offering our love. And just as watering the root of a tree, that water extends to every part of the tree, When that love of God awakens in our heart, it naturally extends to all living beings, every living being, and all inanimate objects, because we understand it to be the sacred energy, the property of our beloved. Just as wasting time is such a loss, to waste the precious and sacred energy of the Lord is also a great loss. So Mother Ganga, she is the soul within the river. Although the Vedic literatures tell us the Atma, the Jiva, is within the heart, its presence within this body is its consciousness permeates every part of the body. If you scratch your finger, you feel it. But a dead body doesn't feel anything because there's no Atma. But as soon as this soul is within the body, it's conscious of every aspect of the body. So similarly, Mother Ganga is the water that is flowing is her body, and she is the Atma. Her presence is in every drop of this water. She's bestowing grace. That is ultimately her only purpose of coming to this world, to bestow grace. Grace is the most powerful thing in all of existence. Yet it is so gentle, so sweet, so nourishing. But it is the only power that can liberate us from the forces of death. So when we're touched by the breeze of Mother Ganga, when we see the river Ganga, when we smell the fragrance of the breeze of Mother Ganga, when we touch her waters, when we drink her waters, we're receiving her grace. Yegatam amprapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. The Bhagavad Gita tells, as you approach the consciousness in which we approach the Supreme, Krishna says, I will reciprocate accordingly. And this is true of all of his energies, and especially his Ladini Shakti, his feminine potency. If we approach Mother Ganga with faith, with devotion, if we approach our mother, our supreme eternal mother who's coming in this form, praying for what she wants to give us, then she will certainly bestow it. A mother in this world, if you ask her for something that she really doesn't think is good for you, she's not going to be pleased. If you ask your mother, please give me money so I can outdo my younger brother, she's not going to be happy. She probably won't even give you the money. But Mother Ganga comes to this world especially to give us prem, to give us ecstatic love. But she will fulfill all of our desires if we approach with sincerity and faith. and a sincere heart. If we pray to Mother Ganga for some material acquisition, in due course of time you will get. If we pay for Mother Ganga to remove our sins so that we don't have to suffer, she will remove our sins in due course. In reciprocation to how we approach. If we pray for mukti, liberation, she will give liberation. If we pray for siddhis, for yogic powers, in due course, she will give yogic powers. Could she could give anything, everything. She's the controller of everything that exists. And if we ask her for humble love for Krishna, for God, to be the loving servant, which is the ultimate thing she wants to give us, she will give that. And it is for this reason that such sages and yogis and rishis and lamas and swamis have come here since the dawn of creation for their spiritual well-being. And sing our honored Padmaji and Sridharji, I'd like to tell one such story. It was about 5 millennia in the past. There was a great emperor. His name was Parikshit. Parikshit was young, at the prime of his life. He was undisputed king. No one could challenge him. There's such incredible histories about how he served his citizens. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mrichchati. We are not proprietors of anything. If we were the proprietor of something, no one and nothing could ever take it away from us. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, I'm the strength of the strong. I'm the intelligence of the intelligent. I'm the ability in everyone. And ultimately, everything is born of Mother Nature. Everything is hers. Everything is her property. We are caretakers. When we understand actually that we are the loving servant of the Supreme, when love awakens in our heart, then we see the true equality, pandita samadarshana, in all beings. And we see that everyone is a child of my beloved. So King Parikshit, he was the servant of everyone. He had unbelievable wealth, but he never thought it was mine. He never used it recklessly. In giving, we receive. He used everything in the most optimum, intelligent, and practical way for the welfare of others. That's the nature of love. The welfare of others is his happiness. Selfish desires can never bring happiness. They can never touch the heart. They just agitate the mind and the senses with a little bit of temporary satisfaction, like scratching an itch. But if you have a rash on your body and you scratch it and scratch it, it feels real good. But is that happiness? As soon as you stop scratching, It itches more. No matter how much money, no matter how much fame, no matter how much beauty, no matter how many awards and prizes you get, no matter how much physical pleasures you receive, it's just scratching itches. Real happiness is in pleasing our Supreme Beloved by living for the welfare of other beings. And he had that knowledge and realization. He would give his life for a bird. He would put down his life and everything he had for a cow or a little animal. What to speak of people in human form. He was there for everyone. He considered everyone to be Krishna's child, and he was the caretaker. Therefore, everyone loved him. There was never demonstrations. There was never elections. He never had to campaign. Because he loved his citizens and he was willing to die for every one of his citizens loved him. He was so successful, so happy. But one time he was in the forest and he made one small mistake. If I go into details, it's a really long story, so I'm going to be very brief. At least I'm going to try. But he made a slight mistake and did not properly respect a great yogi whose name was Samik Rishi. The yogi was in samadhi. He didn't even know. King Parikshit was in such thirst. He begged the Rishi, "Give me water, give me water." And the Rishi didn't even know he was there. He was meditating on Lord Narayan. And the king picked up with his bow a dead serpent that was there because he was angry. "I'm the king. And you're not even giving me some water? What kind of rishi are you? Rishis like to get garlands put on them. Here's a garland." And he put a dead snake on him. Samik Rishi didn't know anything except the supreme truth within himself. And when he came out of his meditation, he saw a dead snake on him. And he smiled and just pushed it off. Nothing. But his son, small boy, who was a yogi, who had great powers. In those days, the children of great yogis were yogis. And he was so angry. "My father was insulted by this king. Who does this king think he is? I curse him. In 7 days, he will die by being bit by a snake." Now, in those days, believe it or not, curses actually worked. Now, people curse each other, but we don't know if it's going to work or not. But then it was for sure. When the father heard about it, he was so disturbed. "You immature, restless, foolish child. This is one of the greatest saints in all of creation, and you have cursed him to die because of one little mistake." And when the news came to Parikshit Maharaj that he was going to die in 7 days, he could have done so many things. He could have sent the world's largest military to go and attack that little boy. And Parikshit Maharaj was a great yogi too. He had cities. He could have counteracted it if he wanted. But he humbled himself. What is Bhagavan's wish? Yadya racharati sreshtasthatat evitaro jana. What great people do, the common people follow. That's the standard of success. So he understood, what a service I have to give a wonderful example to the people of the world for all generations to come. He accepted the curse of dying in 7 days as the greatest blessing of his life. To show people, what is he going to do in the last 7 days of his life? In the 1960s, there was a television show in the United States of America. I don't think it was in India. It was about a very wealthy doctor who was told he had 1 year to live. And every week there was a 1 hour episode of what he did to try to get the most out of his life. He was trying to squeeze like 100 years of physical experiences and material experiences in that 1 year. And sometimes he was scuba diving in the Caribbean with a beautiful young lady, and sometimes he was skiing in the Swiss Alps with a beautiful young lady, and sometimes he was skydiving with a beautiful... He was really doing a lot because he had money. It became such a popular show. It was one of the most popular shows in America. The name of the show was Run for Your Life. At the end of 1 year, they made so much money, the network and the advertisers, that they extended his life another year. And they kept making more and more money, so they extended his life another year. And they kept extending his life, and I just came to India, so I don't know how many years he finally lived. But this is a hero. Just see how much physical, material enjoyment he's getting in his life. And that was the standard. But Parikshit Maharaj, he had 7 days. He had so much money. He had so much influence. He could enjoy everything and anything in that 7 days. But immediately, he took a vow to fast till death. He left his palace, he left everything, and came to the bank of the river Ganges. Not far from here, a place called Sukatal, under a banyan tree he sat, just downstream from Rishikesh. And because he went there for that purpose, he wanted to associate with great people, with enlightened people. He wanted to hear from them, what is the highest purpose of life? The news spread, and yogis, they were coming from not only every part of India and every part of the world, but from different planets. And within hours of his coming there, and making this proclamation of his purpose, the greatest rishis, Narada, Parasara, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Gautam, Bhadraj, Vyas, they were there, hundreds of them. Some of them we read about as the gurus of Ram. Some of them were gurus of Dhruva and Prahlad and Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedanta and Vedas. Gautam Rishi. So many stories, chapters and chapters of histories of these great sages and scriptures. They all came together. And one of them was supposed to speak to Parikshit. Now, this is going to become the Bhagavat Purana, or the Srimad Bhagavatam. The very crest jewel, the essence of all Vedas. The Mahapurana, the Amalam Puranam, the pure divine literature that Dharma Projita Kaitavatra speaks only about the essence of the highest goal and nothing else. So in today's world, everyone, that is the ultimate highest honor any religious person could have, to be the speaker. So they could have had debates to try to prove who was better than the other. And they were discussing who should speak. And then a young boy who was only 16 years old, named Shukadev, he just arrived. He was walking through the forest and he just came upon the place. Shukadev's father, the great Vedavyas, the guru of his father, Narada Muni, they were all there. Some of these people were hundreds of years old, thousands of years old. They all, with great joy, unanimously agreed Shukadev should speak. And it's not that they say, okay, Shukadev, you speak, but I already know everything, I'm going. No. They all stayed to sit for the 7 days to hear. And Parikshit Maharaj, he asked just a few questions. And the answers to those questions became the 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavat. One question. There are so many religions in this world, so many scriptures, so many philosophers and teachers. And there's so many different opinions and so many different perspectives. But I only have 7 days. Speak to me the very essence of all religion, of all dharma, of all occupations. What is the highest occupation, the very essence of all religions? Second question. What is the highest dharma to practice in our life? And what is the prime duty of a person who's about to die? And he wasn't speaking just because he only had 7 days to live. He was speaking to all of us. Because when we perceive life realistically from the perspective of eternity, then there's not that much difference between 95 years and 7 days. Shukadev Goswami, in one verse, he explained, better one moment of full consciousness of love for Krishna, of love for the divine, than a whole long, long life just wasted after selfish pleasures, forgetful of our true purpose. Sutta Goswami was one of the students who was sitting there. And later in Naimasharanya on the banks of the Gomati River, he was telling the story of Shukadev Goswami's teachings to Parikshit Maharaj. And he taught us that Parikshit Maharaj, because he was really hungry for knowledge, he didn't come to sit on the bank of Mother Ganga in the presence of great sages just to get some photos or selfies to put on Facebook or anything like that. There was no prestige. He didn't go there for some, you know, protection just in case, you know, there is a heaven or hell. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was feeling a true urgency to understand what is my real calling in life. Who am I? Why is there suffering? Who is God? What is my relationship? What is my purpose? In Ayurveda, there's so much emphasis on digestion. I know so many Ayurvedic doctors. And this is one thing that they all have in common. The ones that are truly Ayurvedic. That whatever medicine you take, whatever food you take, doesn't matter how good it is. If you can't digest it, there's no benefit. If you can digest it, it assimilates, and all of those benefits go right into your system. And you can't digest anything unless you have hunger. That's what they always ask. How is your hunger? Similarly, unless our hearts are hungry for truth, hungry for knowledge, hungry for God's grace, even if we hear from the most enlightened people, only a very, very limited amount of, there's some benefit, just seeing a, just anybody who sees Mother Ganga is going to get benefit. Anyone who hears anything from an enlightened soul is going to get benefit. But if we're really feeling an urgency, a need, it's not a formality, then in proportion to that, we really can digest, assimilate that knowledge, that grace. The Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses, but there's just a couple verses that encapsulates the entire teaching. What is the highest occupation and the essence of all dharma, religion? Savai pungsang paro dharma yato bhaktiradhokshache ahoitaki apratihata yayatma suprasitati. The supreme dharma is that which awakens divine transcendental love from the heart, from the soul. Such love must be unmotivated by any selfishness, by any egoism, and must be uninterrupted by any changing circumstance of this world. When Suta Goswami spoke this Srimad Bhagavatam, and when Sukadev spoke, there were thousands and thousands of people assembled. And he didn't even need a microphone or sound system. So So how great are we in this age of Kali? We're so dependent on so many things and so many people. But ultimately, to be completely dependent on the mercy of God, of Bhagavan, who supplies everything else, is the path of perfection. Shushusho shudadanasya basudeva katarji syan mahat sevaya viprapunya tirtana sevanat. The path to the highest perfection is to develop this taste, param drisvani vartate, for the ecstasy of love for Krishna, to taste the sweetness, the beauty and the love of the ultimate. Then all the pleasures we crave for in this world become insignificant. We don't need them anymore. Yukta Vairagya, we utilize whatever's in this world as a way to express the ecstatic love that's within us. It's not that we're trying to get all these things to fill the void because we've forgotten the ecstatic love within us. Shushusho means when we develop this higher taste to hear, to chant, to serve, then we find the ultimate fulfillment that has no end. It's beyond birth and death. And the way to gain that is by hearing satsang, by associating hearing and serving mahatsevan, great souls. This is the basis, the foundation of true dharma is satsang, to associate with great personalities, to hear, to share what we've heard. And seva means to apply in our life what we hear and share it with others. Through that simple process, nasta prayesya padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati utamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. This Srimad Bhagavatam, when we hear it, and when we have satsang, association with people who live these principles, then very easily, very naturally, that perfection is awakened within our hearts. Shukadeva Goswami spoke for 7 full days on the bank of the river Ganges, and his conclusion was, in this age of Kali that we are living in, by offering respects to mahats, to great people, satsang, and by chanting the holy names of Hari, we can achieve the ultimate supreme perfection. All the bad karmas, all the sins are washed away from our hearts, and what's left? Prema. Krishna prema, ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. So I'd like to end today by inviting all of us to perform kirtan, the chanting of these divine names. The most powerful medicine. There's a beautiful verse I just read by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a great poet, associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, in this age of Kali, people are bit by the snake of envy and ignorance. And their true spiritual consciousness is forgotten. They're spiritually unconscious. And in that unconscious state, Maya, or the powers of illusion, are constantly attacking them. This is a very profound and powerful statement. If you're unconscious, you can't defend yourself. And all the powers of illusion are attacking you in that state. And he said, but there's one medicine that is specially guaranteed to work, to serve great people, enlightened beings, and to chant the holy names of Lord Hari. So let us chant together. Everyone, please stand up. And as I'm chanting, please put your hands together like this to welcome the Maha Mantra into your hearts. And as you are chanting in response, please raise your arms in this way, everyone. It's a form of celebrating the grace that we have received. It's the form of sharing that grace with all living beings throughout the universe. And it's a form of reaching out in a humble state of mind for the mercy of the Lord that is within this beautiful mantra.